say, what's the name of that guy? I completely blanked on his name in just 2 seconds.
Michael Buffer.
Michael Buffer. Buffer. I knew it was that. Buff in the rough.
Or is it Bruce Buffer? I don't know.
Bruce Buffer. No, it is Bruce Buffer. You almost fooled me there. This is PODcast. Off to a fantastic start here. PrideOfDetroit.com. Pride of Detroit for everything you need about the Detroit Lions. It's the PODcast. I'm Chris Perfett, the adequate host, the Cali boy. I'm taking that title from Jeremy, who is also the fearless leader. Jeremy Reisman at Detroit Online. Myself, Chris Perfett at Chris Perfett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T. And Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan_POD. Gentlemen, how are we all doing today?
I'm doing great, but I would like to point out real quick, already correcting ourselves, Michael Buffer and Bruce Buffer are both brothers, and they're both famous ring announcers.
Well, which is the more famous one? Which is the It's Time Michael. Guy?
Well, let's get ready to rumble is, I think, the more iconic phrase, right? And that's Michael Buffer.
Yeah.
Okay, no, wait. Michael Buffer is let's get ready to rumble, but then Bruce Buffer is the guy at UFC, and that's why I think about the It's Time.
Sure.
Yep. Anyways,
okay. Informative
imagine
up top.
Having,
I like
having brothers with those vocals. Just can you imagine what practice voice practice is like in that household? Just those two yelling at each other. You think that's how they got good? They just yelled at each other all day.
Do you think that they had any buffer? I'm done.
So about the Detroit Lions, just jumping right off that. You know what? We've got some playoff talk coming up. Say it, Ryan. Say it. You've wanted to do it.
Playoffs?
Thank you. All respect to our head coach, the Arizona State Sun Devils. Anyway, we're talking playoffs. We're going to talk some national championship game. Really good game. Really good game, even if just the most abominable team in the world won. But either way, let's talk about the Lions to start. Some coaching news coming down the pike. Hey, remember last week when we did that podcast talking about all those different coaching candidates? Well, it may not matter because Matt Patricia looks, by all means, to probably be ready to take the Lions job just as soon as someone knocks out the New England Patriots. Looking at you, Pittsburgh. Is it Pittsburgh this week or is it someone else? No, it's not Pittsburgh.
Titans.
Oh, Mariota, do us a solid.
Yeah, just do everything like you did last week, Mariota. Throw it, catch it, score it, do it all.
Do everything, young man.
Go but, score! You know,
I don't have that drop ready yet. Why don't I have that drop ready yet? Anyway, Matt Patricia, I think, was it Pro Football Talk, first breaking the news that all signs point that he's about ready to leave the Patriots. And the reports is that the Lions are the front runners there. I'm not even sure how you can be a front runner in this particular thing. It's not like lanes change all of a sudden, but I would say it looks to be like the Lions have the best ties and it looks like they're the ones where he's probably going to land.
Yeah. I mean, just about every realistic report out there is saying, yeah, it looks like this is where it's headed. You know, there's not a solid report out there. It's like, yep, they're closing in on a deal. There's none of that yet. The closest is that Florio report where he said that the Patriots are preparing to move on. And then he also says the likely destination is Detroit. So we don't have any final negotiations. Part of that is because the Lions are technically not allowed to go into negotiations. They're not even allowed to make a backdoor deal, technically, according to the CBA, while the Patriots are still in the playoffs. But I mean, we've seen it happen in other years. We saw it happen last year with the 49ers. We've seen it. I think it was Dan Quinn with the Falcons, you know, the same sort of thing. Deals happen in the background, even though they're not supposed to. And I think that's eventually what we're going to see here. The problem, the most frustrating part about it is that it can't be announced formally until the Patriots are out of the playoffs. And I think all of us here probably think the Patriots are going to make it to at least the next round, probably beyond that. But
they're going to go to at least the AFC Championship, I think.
Yeah.
Barring a monumental collapse, they're going to be in there before. They're probably going to be in the playoffs for the rest of January.
But ESPN told me that the dynasty is dead, so they are probably going to lose. Clam chowder, clam chowder, clam chowder.
What if you had both Matt Patricia, but then Bill Belichick comes and says he wants to be the head coach of the Detroit Lions?
Stop it right now.
You know what? I want him to become head coach of the Browns.
Go back to where he started?
Like, wouldn't that just be the best way to cement your legacy? Like, I don't want to get into too much Bill Belichick talk because this is just ridiculous. But, like, if there was any way that you could cement yourself as the greatest coach of all time, because, I mean, Nick Saban kind of made a he made a bold claim for that after securing, what, number six last night?
Number six time, Bear Bryant. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to make this even better for you. What if Bill Belichick calls up his original defensive coordinator in Cleveland, Nick Saban?
Bill Belichick's just like the Justice League. He's Bruce Wayne putting everybody together on the Browns to form
the
best
coaching
staff. Getting
the band back together.
It's going to take an Avengers-like effort to fix that franchise.
It really is. Okay. Either way, regardless of the drama around One Patriot Way, and regardless of the backdoor dealings, like we talked about Matt Patricia last podcast, and I don't want to copy paste in everything we talked about last week, but I think there is, Ryan, you'll attest to it, that the Slack room's been talking themselves into Patricia. And I'm going to be honest, I'm still not feeling it. I'm still not quite sure what we're doing falling in for another Patriots coordinator.
Well, I mean, did you get a chance to read the Sports Illustrated piece by one Mr. I believe it was Peter King, right? Talking about, Tim Rohan.
I don't usually read this. What were you talking about?
So Tim Rohan reached out to Brandon Spikes, former Patriots linebacker. And I have to share this quote with you. Spikes says he's Italian, so he thinks he knows all about red wines. He's definitely a well-rounded individual. He's someone I aspire to be as a man.
Wait, he's from the old country?
I can't hear you.
Hire him now!
I can't hear you, chef, kissing your fingers, but I think I can make it out. Oh, there it is.
He probably knows the perfect wine to go with Prego red sauce.
Oh, fuck off.
Oh, you mean ragu?
Oh, ragu. What if
we've completely sold Chris on Matt Patricia coming because he's from the old country, as Chris says, but then he shows up and he's like, they show him like eating his lunch and it's in like Tupperware and they're like, oh, what do you have for lunch, Matt? He's like, oh, just some ragu and spaghetti.
Just in the background of his press conference where it has like the Lions logo, there's a ragu sponsorship in the back too.
We all know what's going to happen. He's going to come in. He's going to be trying to hide his New England accent like Bob Quinn was. He's going to skip through every now and then.
I don't even think Chris would be that upset. He would just say, young man, get that money.
Yeah, I'm young Italiano.
Doing it for the culture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, no, you sold me. Let's get him.
Okay, perfect.
But, I mean, since our last podcast, I think both me and Ryan have warmed to the idea a little more. I was always okay with Matt Patricia, but the further I dig, the happier I think I get in general. I mean, you always have to be wary of the Patriots tree thing, but I think you also have to look a little deeper than that. Like, that's not fair to the individual if you're just like, oh, he was under the Patriots, he's going to suck.
I mean, that Patriots tree has also given us, like, Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss. So, I mean, there's enough ground here, sodden. But no, I mean, I'm with you. I'm just not, like, I don't know. I'm for it. I'm for it. As we said, we've been talking themselves into it. I'm kind of wary about what you're about to do, though, which is the storytelling, too. But hey, whatever.
Yeah.
It looks like a good fit. It looks like this is the fit that Bob Quinn's had in mind since he's like come here. So it's a matter of, are you down with the vision of Bob Quinn?
Right. And I mean, you have to be at this point, right? I mean, there isn't anything that he's led the team completely astray with yet. I mean, you could argue maybe last draft wasn't what you wanted it to be because you wanted them to get Alvin Kamara. You wanted them to get Kareem Hunter. You wanted them to get some defensive end help in the offseason. But this is still Bob Quinn's team. This is still a team that's now coming off of two straight winning seasons, whether that's meaningful to you or not. And, you know, I'm going to trust him. The one thing that I'm kind of going back to, though, is like, well, it's a little weary of, you know, when the most popular candidate before Jim Caldwell's even fired ends up being the guy. But in general, like I said, just the further I dig on this guy, the more I like. He's a really smart guy. He's a guy who, I mean, if you read anything about him, the best thing about him is his work ethic. This guy sleeps at the Patriots facility. He works his ass off, you know, studying tape and building relationships with his players. So I think he's the right guy, and I think I'm okay with it now. But as we've said over and over through the past 2 weeks, we don't know shit. We don't.
I just want to say, like, again, A, this is what I'm talking about, the idea that you're just buying in stories that are used to make myths. And usually these stories end up coming from, like, PR people or managers. Oh, sorry, knocked over something. PR people or managers who are just trying to, as I say, like, create these myths. But on the other case, too, if this is any of this true, like, that's like Belichick-type freak shit. So I'm not surprised.
And I know, Jeremy, your biggest concern, and also a little bit of a concern of mine, is if Patricia comes here, then who are his coordinators? Well, we definitely know for sure that the defensive coordinator who was formerly employed by the Lions will no longer be a yes. part of the Lions staff.
We needed to talk. This was the other part we needed to talk about. Terrell Austin has taken the defensive coordinator job under the unkillable Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati. And I think Jeremy, was saying that he's going to be the Lions head coach in by 2019?
The Bengals head coach, yeah.
The Bengals, that's what I mean, yes. Yeah.
The different cat.
It's interesting. I mean, if I were him, that would kind of be a reason why I'd take the job, right? Even though Marvin Lewis just got an extension, and even though he's a cockroach that can never be killed, you have to imagine either he's going to get sick of it at some point, or there will be a literal mutiny in the stands there in Cincinnati because, man, those fans are angry right now.
But if that's the case, you got to think Marvin Lewis knows what's going on. And if that's the case, he's not even giving Terrell Austin the Wi-Fi password. Like, well, if you're smart, you are not showing the young man how to do your job because he's here to replace you.
I think that's the old Brett Favre rub, huh? But I think what's interesting, and I think it totally lends credence to that idea that they're bringing in Austin to maybe groom him, or maybe even Marvin Lewis to groom him, because they had talks about Marvin Lewis moving to the front office. And there were talks back when Hugh Jackson was the offensive coordinator at Cincinnati that, like, you know, eventually, like, they wanted Hugh to be Marvin Lewis's successor. So I think this makes a lot of sense. Get a guy who has had an awful lot of clout, has had an awful lot of backing in terms of the whole idea of him making the move to head coach. And I mean, say what you want about his defense, but I think that even a lot of the beats in Detroit, Dave Brickett stands out right now to me the most, that, you know, he talks about his about Austin's, like, personability and all of these other things too. And if you want to write that off as the kind of narrative stuff that Chris was talking about, but I think that comes from probably a rather genuine place, that, you know, Brickett and some of the other beats think that, you know, one day Austin will eventually get a head coaching job, and why not have it be in Cincinnati?
And as far as I know, he's actually keeping all of the other defensive coaches on staff. So that's further a sign that they're like, all right, we just want you to kind of meet the players for a year or two, get used to the whole organization, and then we're probably going to promote you from within. Because, yeah, I mean, they might not be changing their system that much. They've got a pretty good thing going on that side of the ball in Cincinnati anyways. So I think it's a good fit for him. Even if he stays a defensive coordinator, he's going to have that defensive line talent that he didn't get in Detroit. I have nothing but nice things to say about Terrell Austin. I know we all got sick of him dropping linemen into coverage, and maybe some of the players didn't develop like we want to, like Miles Killebrew comes to mind. But in general, I think the secondary is proof that Terrell Austin was a success in Detroit. I mean, you look at the development of Darius Slay. You look at a guy like Rasheen Mathis, who Terrell Austin squeezed every little bit left out of that guy before he retired. Glover Quinn, obviously still playing at a Pro Bowl level at his age. I'm happy with the time Austin had, and I'm a little bummed to see him go. it does leave a crater, I think, on this coaching staff now, and we can kind of get into who we think might fill that. Obviously, it depends on who the Lions hire head coach, but
yeah, I was going to say we're kind of putting the cart before the horse here. We should probably wait to see if he's actually hired. Probably is, but not going to worry about it too much because we got quite a bit of offseason left to go. In that regard, we should probably take a break. When we come back, let's talk playoffs, baby, and a national championship game. Because you know what? We're more than just NFL. We're not more than just NFL. Guys, I don't know about you, but I think the best thing I saw from Twitter was Charlie Daniels chiding Taco Bell to take the Illuminati seriously. Oh, hey, welcome back to PODcast.
Hey, is that a question?
No, I was just pointing out the fact. I was just saying my favorite thing from Twitter was Charlie Daniels sending out the tweet, hey, Taco Bell, the Illuminati are not a joke.
All right.
No?
That's good.
It was a really funny tweet. Come on, guys.
You love just talking tweets. We need a talking tweets with Chris segment.
Talking tweets. Yes, I like this. I want that as like my job, basically, to just talk tweets. Like, what was a dumb thing on Twitter today?
We'll carve out like 2.5 minutes for you every. How about 280 seconds? Isn't that the character? Is that the character limit? I don't know.
Yes, that's the new character limit. Thank you. Okay.
We'll do that.
I know listener John Whitaker has been all about the multimedia. If he can come up with a talking tweets theme for Chris, that would be much appreciated.
Cool. Anyway, let's talk about playoffs instead of the tweets. Where, I mean, there were plenty of tweets about it, especially watching Kansas City and Tennessee. Oh boy, the Chiefs, man. They keep doing this. If you went away thinking the Chiefs had this game in hand when it was, what was the score at one point? It was like 21 to 3. And that was like late into like, I think the third quarter too. Definitely, and then you come back and that was in the half. It was still 21 to 10 going into the fourth quarter. You think, okay, it's whatever. But no, what ends up happening is for some reason, Kansas City forgot they had Kareem Hunt and Tennessee remembered they had Marcus Mariota and Delanie Walker. And oh boy.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about the opening weekend of the playoffs. That game specifically, it started off boring. The Chiefs were just kind of running Titans out of town. And then it got exciting at the end. And I was not enthusiastic about any of these games. I was going into the playoffs with a very open mind. I was excited about the Bills because they were in the playoffs for the first time, and Titans were in the playoffs for the first time in a while, and the Jaguars were in. And I don't know, just like all those teams, like, oh, wait, this is why they haven't been making the playoffs, because they're not that good. They're not that entertaining. They're not playing good football that's fun to watch. And even though the Titans came back in that game, it was an ugly game. They had to have this ridiculous Marcus Mariota play, which was fun to watch, don't get me wrong, but not a sign of good football when you're counting on your quarterback to catch a pass deflected off of some dude's helmet or whatever it bounced off of. And yeah, the Chiefs are just still the sad sack Chiefs. What, they're like 1-11 in their past 12 games, playoff games.
But they've done this before. And you know what? This isn't even the worst heartbreak, because you remember, what was it, 3 years ago when they played the Colts? And it was like that was like ended up being like a 45 to 44 game or something, and the Colts came back like 30 points.
Right.
Like, no, this isn't the worst.
Don't talk to me about the Chiefs, man. They're dead to me.
This is the end of Alex Smith. It has to be.
Yeah, I mean, probably is.
You know what? I mean, this is probably going to shock Jeremy, but I don't even think this should be the end of Alex Smith necessarily. This should be the end of Andy Reid. Andy Reid needs to get out of the NFL. I'm done with Andy Reid.
Did he forget that Kareem Hunt existed?
There was trash.
Kareem Hunt had like four carries five carries in the second half.
Total
in this game.
I ran the numbers. He had 14 total touches. 9 of them came in the first half. 7 of them came in the first quarter.
Okay,
I'm done with Andy Reid.
Whoa! Hold on a second, because I'm reading this from our friends at Arrowhead Pride.
What do they want?
Here's the title of this article: Former Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator Matt Nagy called all of the offensive plays in the second half on Saturday.
Oh, we forgot about this. Guess who is now the new Chicago Bears head coach?
Yes. The perfect segue into the guy who blew the game for the Chiefs. Maybe not single-handedly, but certainly had a hand in it.
Yeah, I mean, let's not understate how very important it was that the Chiefs lost Travis Kelce for the second half. Like that, huge role.
They had more weapons than just Kelce. They just forgot any of them existed.
Yeah, all the more reason to use your running back, for God's sake. And Nagy says himself, you know, there are some scenarios in which I would have made different choices, but he calls it a learning experience. I stand by it and promise you I'll learn from it. But man.
Well, I'm glad he learned himself right into the Chicago Bears head gig, where there will absolutely be learning and understanding.
This is hilarious. I mean, I will be ecstatic if we have Matt Nagy doing what he did in this AFC wildcard round matchup with Alex Smith throwing the ball 33 times and Kareem Hunt only running it 11 times. Like, if we get that in Chicago, if we get Mitch Trubisky throwing the ball 33 times, Darius Slay might finish with like 14 interceptions in a season.
Yeah, imagine Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard just like suddenly showing up on milk cartons. That'll be fun.
This is, I mean, with every sad story, like, I mean, it's well documented how much all of us are hashtag Hunt Hive and how big of a Patrick Mahomes fan I am. And I know you are too, Chris, but like, this is just the best possible outcome that could have happened.
I told them should have played Patty Mahomes. They didn't. I think I'm with Jeremy though, that this was the only game that stuck out from the playoffs for me. Like, this was a terrible weekend of professional football. Jacksonville, Buffalo finished 10-3. And that's not from any good outstanding defense either.
That was one of the worst football games that I watched all year. Not even just playoff rounds. Like that, game was bad from start to finish.
Yeah, I wish both those teams could have gotten eliminated for making us sit through that game.
I kept saying that on Twitter. And I know you know I love a defensive battle. And like you said, that's not what was happening in that game. Blake Bortles and now I'm blanking on who the other team was. Tyrod Taylor were just awful in that game. Wide open guys on screen plays that they were missing. And it was hard to watch. And there was that one moment where there was the fumble that was returned for a touchdown that almost made it look, wait, no, that was in the Kansas City game. I'm getting my games confused because there was a lot of really bad football being played with a lot of AFC teams that I don't like and don't ever want to see in the playoffs again. But just, to your larger point, I didn't like these playoffs. Even the games that I thought were scheduled to line up, you know, obviously Panthers Saints was probably the biggest game on the docket. NFC division rivals, and it had an okay finish. You know, the Panthers made a game out of it and had a drive at the end of the game to potentially tie it, but it still felt flat to me. I don't know what it was.
Put together a pretty good drive, and then Jordan Cameron like snatched Cam Newton's soul away.
Pretty much.
And I don't even talk about Atlanta and Los Angeles. Like, I thought Rams Falcons was going to be a really fun game, and it was just a wet fart. Like, you had two really good offenses, and the Rams just looked anemic.
That's what you get for rooting for them.
Yeah, maybe. No more Wingstop though.
Not until they sponsor this podcast.
Not until they should sponsor this podcast.
You guys will still get texts about the Lakers, though, so shut up.
How many more games are the Lakers going to win right now?
They'll win a few, whatever. Shut up, both of you. But, I mean, let's talk about the bigger picture here. There's a big subplot that both of us are, I mean, all three of us are just completely overlooking.
What's that?
Blake Bortles and Marcus Mariota have more playoff wins than Matthew Stafford.
All right, turn it off. Turn it off. We're done.
He's been outbroed, finally.
I don't care that Blake Bortles had more rushing yards than he had passing yards on Sunday. I don't care.
Blake Bortles averaged less than 4 yards per attempt.
Did you see that? Did you see that?
Only
like,
the
presser
second
where he was talking about that.
Hold up.
Did you see that presser he was talking? Where he was talking about that he had more rushing yards, and he was like comparing himself to baseball and just completely crossing the sports stream altogether. Where he's like, yeah, I it's like I'm a pitcher. I've got to use a changeup versus a fastball. And it's like, but you're playing football. Please don't do this. You're not supposed to cross two sports.
Chris, what the hell are you doing watching a Blake Bortles press conference?
It was on ESPN. It was on SportsCenter.
What are you doing watching ESPN?
Out of batteries?
I like watching SVP.
I would rather watch a Twitch of one of you guys playing Overwatch, a game I have never experienced at all, than to watch a Blake Bortles press conference.
Now talking about the national championship, because this was the actual interesting game, even though I looked at both these teams and I was like, please just fuck off and die. And I don't know, it's really hard for me to feel good about an Alabama victory, but I mean, did you see Nick Saban just like grinning ear to ear? That was unnerving. And I don't know how to process what happened on Monday night. I don't. Because like we've seen teams from Georgia collapse in championships before. But come on. Really? Come on.
I don't have a whole lot to say about the game because it wasn't super exciting, but I do have something to say about, I'm really over players proposing to their girlfriends after games. Like I'm way out on that. I'm selling all my stock. I didn't have any of it, but I'm selling it. I'm like that stock should Under Armour like immediately.
Why is that? Why are you over it?
It's just, what are you doing? Like you're too young. Don't do that. Don't, you're making a mistake. You just won a football game and you're super excited about it. Are you telling me? Hold on. Here's the thing. You always see the players proposing to their girlfriends after they win the game. What if they would have lost? Do you think they still would be doing it?
How many people on the Georgia sidelines were pocketing their rings?
Oh, my like, God.
It's like, I hope I kept the receipt.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, you're not doing it out of love. You're doing it out of elation that you just climbed the mountain that you've been dreaming of ever since you were a, you know, fifth grade kid. No. No, 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 no.
I'm just fascinated by this game on several things. One is that, like, when they took out Jalen Hurts after he looked just awful to begin the game, like, I was like, okay, this is what I hate about Saban. He has no trust in his roster, and he just kind of throws kids under the bus when, like, it's just the same story as the kick six where he decides, hey, I'm going to go to a freshman kicker. And instead, Tua, and I'm not even trying to pronounce his last name, just lit everything up. He looked like a freshman, but I think as Spencer Hall wrote, he acted like a senior, basically looking off the safety on that final play in overtime. And between Jake Fromm and Tua, like there's going to be some good quarterbacks in the SEC, which seems terrifying, a terrifying prospect to think about.
I wish I could have shared this article with you from the Daily News that is that's headlined "Alabama Fan Concerned About Language Barrier Between Hawaiian Quarterback."
Oh no, I've seen that. I've seen that from the Alabama Crimson Tide boards. I know all about what you're about to say. Well, it didn't really hurt Tua. He seemed to just randomly repeat, "I want to thank God, the Most High and Holy," like 50 fucking times.
Can we talk about how overtime started, though? I mean, both of those quarterbacks just taking monumental, like, 20-yard sacks. Like, what? Stop running backwards.
Yeah, like, I was about ready to bury Tua, but then he had the play afterwards that just saved him completely. I thought when you said to start overtime, you were talking about the ref who said, gentlemen, we still, after, you know, after a good game so far, but we still have a champion. We're going to keep playing until we have one. That's most just, terrifying words out there.
It just reminded me of the Joe Buck tweet.
Welcome to the top of the 148th.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't. Unfortunately, I only got to watch the boring parts of this game live. I had
you went,
a prior
you went to a comedy show.
I did, and I don't regret my decision. It was a good comedy show, but I went and rewatched the second half on the coach's room film that ESPN was playing live, where they had like seven coaches watching the game live and giving their analysis, which. If you haven't done ever, I would highly, highly recommend it, especially if you're a tape guy trying to learn more about the game. ESPN, watch that. ESPN still has it on demand, and that's what I watch as well.
Not even that, but like just the reactions. Like everyone was saying David Cutcliffe, the coach at Duke, who was on that panel, was like the MVP of the night.
Yeah.
And like someone has the clip of him, like it's like right before he read the defensive alignment on the winning play, and it's like, this is the game right here.
I saw that tweet and it was actually wrong because he said, he's like, oh, they're in a second and long here. He might throw an interception. This could be the end of the game.
Oh, was it? Oh, whatever. Either way, David Cutcliffe, like, and his choice of pizza and everything else. Like he was an MVP of the night.
But anyways, I'm going to bring this back to the Lions a little bit because we are a Lions podcast and I don't want to just get 10 minutes of Lions talk out of the way in the first 10 minutes and then talk about everything else. Daron Payne, the defensive lineman, defensive tackle from Alabama, looked absolutely unstoppable in that game. And I know he's probably not going to be there at 20 for the Lions, but if he is, holy crap, run to that podium and get that guy. Because
there's a lot of guys like that we've been talking about lately, though. But yeah, he's definitely up there.
The coaches were saying it, too. They're like, every time an Alabama defensive lineman made a play, they're like, oh, that must be 94. That's 94. That's got to be 94. He's making the play. And every time it was him, because he was just so disruptive. As a pass rusher, so strong as a run defender, you know, working off double teams, he's the guy I want. And I know there are some other guys in this game. You know, we put out an article today from Alex Reno on Nick Chubb, who had an underwhelming game, to say the least. But if you go to Pride of Detroit, read that story. He's that physical runner that I think a lot of Lions fans have been looking for. And the questions about his injury are the big questions surrounding him going forward. And the medical tests he does at the combine are going to be very telling, but watch Nick Chubb. A lot of people fell in love with Sony.
Sonny
Mitchell. See, I'm still working on my college game, but he obviously had a pretty intense game last week. Although I don't know if he's really the guy that the Lions would want.
I just want to stop you up here because we're about to run completely away from the most important part. That
you always want to stop me.
Yeah, because you keep talking too long. You want to air that out.
Because I want to talk about the Lions and you're not a Lions fan.
No, because you just keep going on for minutes at a time. And I'm going to make this about the Lions. Imagine a line with two guys like Daron Payne and A'shaun Robinson. Two very big Alabama boys. B, is Daron Payne probably the first rookie on the Lions to win the name tournament?
Well, Jace won it. Jace won it, I think, as a rookie.
Yeah, but there was ballot stuffing there.
An undrafted rookie at that.
That's the name bracket is about ballot stuffing.
Okay. Well, okay, fine. Will Daron Payne, if the Lions draft him, probably win as a rookie?
I think we can say objectively that Daron Payne is a better name than Jace Billingsley. No offense, Denny.
You will not be able to get me on record as saying that.
Yeah, I know I won't. I'll get it in Slack one day, but.
Okay.
Don't try to pull receipts on me.
We're taking a break, coming right back, and contrary to what Jeremy says, we are going to talk more Lions. So stick around. PODcast, we're going to talk some Lions. Lions are not playing this weekend. There, we talked about some Lions. What more do you want from me?
Oh, nothing. Sure. Let's talk about socialism.
Yeah, let's. Or we can talk about the NFC North, because that seems to be the thing people like to talk about. Because there is some happenings out there. Besides, I think we're going to talk a little more playoffs here in a bit, the upcoming week, divisional round. But I think first we want to talk a little bit about what the hell's been going on in Green Bay, as apparently that whole thing starts to finally starts to implode.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked to see them basically blow up their entire coaching staff outside of McCarthy.
Seriously, like everyone but McCarthy. I don't get that.
It's interesting, and I guess I get saving McCarthy's face. I don't understand what's going on there. I do get making a change at general manager. This hasn't really been a good roster for a very long time, but a guy like Aaron Rodgers is very much capable of masking that. But man, there's so many changes going on, and I don't know if we're going to see a big difference on the field because they still have Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's not like this is going to be a 5-11 team next year. That's not going to happen, but changes are coming, and I'm interested to see where this team is going to be, like, not in the next 1 or 2 years, but more like the next 5 to 10 years.
Can we run down the changes just so the people have them at home? So basically, as you said, nearly everyone on the coaching staff, except for the head coach, is out. Mike McCarthy survives. No one else does. Is that right? Unless there's like some quality control coach I'm not seeing here.
I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure their offensive coordinator is out. I know their defensive coordinator is out.
So yeah, the two main coordinators. And then meanwhile, Ted Thompson he's kind of given a chance to basically retire. He wasn't fired. He was allowed to parachute out. And it doesn't look like Elliot Wolf, the longtime front office individual who has been assumed to be kind of the up-and-coming rising star as an NFL general manager, he's not going to be the guy in Green Bay.
Nope, they made their internal hire for general manager.
Mark Murphy, yeah.
Nope.
Brian, I'm sorry. Who's Mark Murphy then? I keep saying Mark Murphy here. I've got his name, Brian. Ooh, that's a rough one. Gutenkunst?
That sounds
wow,
right.
I might have to beat myself.
Yeah, so that was an internal hire, a director of player personnel type guy. Definitely a surprise because, yeah, I think Elliot Wolf was one of the guys that the Lions, I think, were trying to interview when they hired Bob Quinn.
Yep.
But I believe the Packers denied that interview. So now it looks like Elliot Wolf, he's a hot commodity. He's being linked to, I believe, the Raiders job. There was another, the Browns job. This is a huge shakeup with the Packers, and that's something we haven't seen in a really, really, really long time.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and Ryan, maybe you can jump on here, but like I think to your point, like it is starting to show a little bit of instability here. I don't know what it's all going to mean at the end, because as you say, Aaron Rodgers always ends up masking a lot of that stuff. But I mean, how many more years are you going to have out of Aaron Rodgers? At some point in that time frame you're talking about, the 5 years or whatever, like you're going to have to start thinking about just long-term growth for the Packers organization. I think what I'm even right now, though, just looking at the roster and if they can even do anything, because this is a organization under Ted Thompson, just very hesitant to re-sign players, to go out after free agents, just constantly like, it was always the joke. We always talk with the Packers guys. They would never hire and they would never buy up anyone in free agency. Last year was kind of a glaring exception. We were all shocked by it. And I don't know what, I don't know what that means for the Packers. Are they going to spend more in free agency? Are they going to spend even less in free agency? I really don't know. And I don't know where this team's going to go. And I think more than anything, it once again reinforces the fact this is just no longer a division for the Packers to lose. They have to win it like everyone else now, like the Lions, the Bears, the Vikings.
I mean, to go to that point, though, This makes the Davante Adams contract even more confounding, because who was really in charge of this? Like, did Ted Thompson orchestrate this? Because, I mean, Davante Adams contract, I feel like that should be a reason enough alone for you to be like, yeah, Ted, maybe it's time for you to just kind of walk away.
I mean, some background for, if in case people don't know what happened with the Davante Adams contract.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, he signed to a 4-year, $58 million deal, $30 million guaranteed, and an $18 million signing bonus. Like, I mean, he's getting paid an annual rate of $14.5 million a year. And I mean, that's up there with like the top, that's being paid as like a top 10 wide receiver.
Jeez.
And that, I mean, that's never really been the Packers' way either, right? Like, they shuffle through wide receivers every single year, it seems, outside of Jordy Nelson, because they have Aaron Rodgers, and he can make a lot of scrubs look pretty good.
Exactly. I mean, for how many, you know, Jordy Nelsons there have been, or Randall Cobbs, how many Geronimo Allisons have there been? You know, how many guys has Aaron Rodgers been able to, you know, turn, you know, chicken shit into chicken salad? So... But like you said, Chris, I mean, I don't know. I think that Aaron Rodgers will do just fine in masking a lot of, you know, the deficiencies on these rosters. But I'm most confused by the Elliott Wolf thing. Like, I don't know why he wasn't the clear line successor, especially because the Packers, and I mean, the Lions did block the Packers from interviewing Terrell Austin. So, you know, I think during the GM search for Bob Quinn, the Packers blocked an interview with Elliott Wolf, right?
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just, you know, interdivision rivalry stuff, I'm assuming. But I don't know. Maybe Aaron Rodgers just needs to hook up with a personal trainer who has supplements that can cure cancer.
Well,
that
okay,
will
so
be the true downfall of Titletown.
So I'm trying to catch up here on the Packers situation, because as of right now, they don't technically have an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, but they are expected to hire Joe Philbin as a part of their offensive.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
God.
That's what I was.
That's God. Exactly. Oh, man.
Everything's yeah. coming up aces for the Lions. If they get Patricia, then they won.
Well, I mean, it's hard to say, because, I mean, everyone could have told you that Joe Philbin as a head coach was not going to work out, because that guy has the personality of a 2x4.
And he was coaching in Miami. We need to talk eventually about Miami being a coaching graveyard. Then, like, I mean, we can talk about the Lions, we can talk about the Browns, but Miami is in that conversation.
But I guess my overall point is that Philbin has built successful offenses in the past, not great offenses in the past. And as much as we want to make fun of Nagy too, like he made Alex Smith the highest rated passer in terms of passer rating quarterback, Alex friggin' Smith this year.
Well, so, let's also keep in mind though, that Alex Smith was also a former number one overall pick.
True.
And but, has how many bajillion weapons in Kansas City?
And what happened? What happened to him in San Francisco was kind of unfair. I mean, I know Colin Kaepernick was playing out of his mind, but
also, I mean, from what I've read too, like Alex Smith always kind of feeds off of just those short yardage passes, but whatever. It's whatever. I'm just saying
Nagy he comes from a quarterback background, and the fact that the Bears have a young quarterback that needs to be molded, you know, it makes sense from just an on paper standpoint, but the fact that it comes off the heels of Nagy's probably worst performance as an NFL coach is hilarious. That is not lost on me.
Anyway, let's talk about the divisional round coming up here. We've got Atlanta and Philadelphia, Tennessee at New England, Jacksonville at Pittsburgh, New Orleans at Minnesota. Who wants to make some picks? Or just who wants to have some hot takes?
I think there's going to be another shit round of football.
Really?
It's not going to be good. I mean, the game that's least interesting to me is without a doubt 100% Philadelphia versus Atlanta.
Is Atlanta just going to like end up sleepwalking to the NFC Championship at this rate?
I don't know, because here's the thing. I find it super interesting that this is, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I heard this earlier in the week, but Atlanta's the first ever road underdog, or the first ever road favorite over a one seed.
I'm really? Pretty sure it's the first ever six seed over a one seed favorite. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, it's insane. I have zero faith in Nick Foles.
I'm with you too, but I think people are looking a little bit too closely at just quarterback here, because they do have a good running game. They have an outstanding defense. They're going to be in this game. I don't think they're going to win it, but they're going to be in it.
No, I totally agree, but it's by far and away like the least interesting game to me. Like the other
end. How is Patriots Titans any more interesting?
Dude, just because the ESPN report came out, that's all that. Like,
That's it. Well, you know what happens when the Patriots have a report that comes out against them? They're going to come out so pissed. They're going to put up 40 on the Titans,
and that's going to be great. Also, as a Lions fan, I'm super interested to see more Matt Patricia. What do you mean that the Eagles game is going to be more exciting? There's no way. I do not care about that game.
I think on the opposite end of the spectrum, probably I am excited about New Orleans, Minnesota. I'm just terrified it's going to be a letdown.
I think that's going to probably be the game of the week for me.
Absolutely. It has to be. It's the only one that, on paper, is going to be close.
Okay. All right. We get it, Jeremy. We can hear you screaming skull from California right now.
We can hear you say
the game's going to be close.
He keeps saying on paper, like this is some fucking catchphrase of his now.
It's my fucking brand. Chill out, bro.
It's my brand.
So we're just writing off, like, okay, like you say Atlanta, Philadelphia is the worst, but like, I don't know, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh's.
I think that could be the sneaky upset of the week. I think that Jacksonville could absolutely beat Pittsburgh. I feel like a lot of people probably feel that way too, though, so maybe it's not so sneaky. But
Pittsburgh does not seem to ever put teams away, and they've certainly played down to their opponents all year, including, let's face it, the Lions. But if Blake Bortles has two fucking wins before Stafford has one, I'm going to be mad. So, no, not happening.
If Blake Bortles has a Super Bowl before Matthew Stafford.
I mean, this is Mark Sanchez all over again, right? You know, he has everything a quarterback could possibly want, and he might waltz his way into an AFC championship appearance. He's not making it to a Super Bowl.
I'm triggered right now. I'm so mad that you just compared Blake Bortles to Mark Sanchez.
Why? Tell me why I'm wrong.
Blake Bortles couldn't carry Mark Sanchez's jockstrap.
See, you've got this weird thing with Mark Sanchez. Every good Lions fan hates Mark Sanchez because he was ultimately compared to Matthew Stafford being in the same draft class. And for the first 3 years of his career, everyone thought Mark Sanchez was a better quarterback.
Not me. I've never been intimidated by Mark Sanchez, and I don't know how you could ever be intimidated by Mark Sanchez after the butt fumble. Like,
so what side are you on?
Dude, Blake Bortles is bad. He's so bad. Like, that's the thing about this Pittsburgh game this week, though. Like, I think that Pittsburgh's going to have to rely on maybe, like, you know, forcing at least two turnovers to win the game. Like, that would be the only way that that would convince me that Pittsburgh could you know, seal a victory, is if they force two this is what it needs to be. The turnover differential needs to be +2 in Pittsburgh's favor for them to win the game.
Wait, why? Why? How is Jacksonville scoring?
On defense, maybe?
Well, so they need turnovers to win.
That's what I'm saying. The turnover differential is going to win. Did you want me to drop the cliche? I wanted to try to say it in an interesting way. Jerk.
I think that's a great time to just get out of the segment and go on to the mailbag. What do you think?
I think you're a mailbag.
You're what? Oh, okay. We're fighting now.
I can't wait. This is my return to the mailbag.
So, okay. Before we move on, though, like final picks. So let's just go down. Just tell me who you're going to win. Don't worry about the spread. Atlanta, Philadelphia.
Atlanta.
Tennessee, New England.
New England
by 40.
Jacksonville, Pittsburgh.
Oh, hold on. I only say that because the Titans came out and said that Malarkey was their coach going forward. That's such a huge mistake. They win one playoff game and everything changes.
You think the players are so distraught that they're going to throw the game? In the hopes that they fire him anyways, they go back on their word.
Just lose by 50, and then ownership's like, yeah, we made a mistake. Malarkey, you're out of here. What's the next game, Chris?
Jacksonville and Pittsburgh.
Jacksonville, Pittsburgh. I'm gonna I'm gonna go Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's Pittsburgh. Sorry.
Me, Jacksonville.
Your police, and, Chris.
Crazy. And finally, New Orleans, Minnesota.
My favorite team all year, baby. Vikings. Skull!
Oh, Who dat? My goodness gracious. I can't believe That's Jeremy great. Just did that on audio. You know what Chris can do with that, right?
Yes, I can make a drop. Unfortunately, I was like yelling who dat at about the same time, but we'll see how it comes out.
That's fine. You can clip it and send it to John Whitaker and he can do magic with it. But
like what? No shame at all. Like you are the very same as the Florida Gators Twitter account chanting SEC, SEC.
I'm not going to take this from a non-Lions fan. Fuck off.
You are that guy rooting for a divisional rival. What is wrong with you?
I haven't made my pick yet. I'm picking New Orleans because they're the most fun team to watch.
Seriously, like I called them this the other night, but they're an island of misfit toys. They've got like I didn't even know they had Manti Te'o on their roster. I just learned that on Sunday.
So many jokes, but I'm just gonna walk away from all the obvious ones. But here's another thing though that I think could probably trigger Jeremy. I do want New Orleans to lose though, because I have Alvin Kamara in my fantasy football league, in my dynasty league. So I don't want him to like risk any further injury. I want here's him back for the regular season.
Here's what I want. I want an NFC championship between Atlanta and New Orleans.
Oh my goodness. That would be...
Haven't we seen enough NFC South this year?
No, not Atlanta, New Orleans. That rivalry is heated.
Okay, I agree with Chris. I also agree with Jeremy, though, because Jeremy forced all of us to be Buccaneers fans for 2 weeks. It was like Stockholm Syndrome at Pride of Detroit.
Hey, they won last week.
Shut up. Mailbag coming up next. Mail time. Hashtag ask POD. As always, Jeremy, do we have reviews?
No. We got a bunch of slackers in 2018. We need to offer some sort of incentive again.
Clearly taking away the threat of wrestling talk was a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to light the fire under everybody's ass again.
I'll think about it. I'll think about some sort of reward system for a positive review.
Especially since we're competing against like a million new ones. Anyway, let's see here. Let's talk this question from Kajeka Smith. What do you think Matt Patricia's diet consists of?
Red wine and ragu, baby.
Yeah, she Smith asks us, I'm just curious about what he might eat to give him such a luxurious beard. And I think, yeah, that's what Italiano can do for you.
I promise, Chris, I promise. If we are credentialed up, my first question that I will ask Matt Patricia will be, how does he feel about vodka sauce?
There we go.
I will now ensure that we don't get credentialed for his introductory press conference.
Staying on Matt Patricia, Josh LaFond, the enemy of the show, is Matt Patricia's beard thick enough to contain a microverse?
That's a good question. Maybe a miniverse.
What do you think he does with the miniverse?
I think there's probably a whole population of people in there that are powering that beard to make sure it's luxurious and I was gonna say voluptuous, but I don't think voluptuous. Well, yeah, that's what the reference is in the question.
I know.
So my apologies for trying to address the question as it was asked.
I want to try to be the olive branch here and offer an answer by also asking a question. So I see this an awful lot on Twitter about Matt Patricia's laminated card that he carries around with all of the, I'm assuming, defensive calls and whatnot. But he also has the pencil with him. I'm speaking from experience. Pencils don't do a whole lot on laminated things. So do you think that there's a miniverse in his beard that has created some kind of pencil that has the ability to write on laminate?
I think he's got a pencil he's got a pencil sharpener in that beard.
Possible. We're asking a lot of questions need to be answered. Maybe we should get credentialed. These questions need to be answered.
Real gonzo journalism. Hungry Lion. Can someone confirm or deny that Matt Patricia is the face of Murray's Discount Auto Stores?
Yeah, that's funny. I haven't thought about Murray's in a long time.
Need to pull up this logo.
I'll confirm. I'll be reckless and confirm. Enor asks us, if Matt Patricia comes to the Lions, will he still wear his hat backwards? Wasn't this like the knock for the longest time, fomented by Colin Cowherd, that Stafford can't be a winner because he wears his hat backwards? He can't be a leader of men.
Yeah, it was mostly Ditka, but yeah. And I think I saw someone on the radio. I won't mention what radio station is, but yes, it's the one you're thinking of. That someone was concerned that Matt Patricia did not look professional enough for the job, which is hilarious. Because who gives a shit?
I'm sorry, this is the league that decided Jack Del Rio was overdressed. Like, this is a league now run by slovenly old men in hoodies and windbreakers. Come on, give me a break.
I was gonna say, what about Bill Belichick? Looks like he dresses professionally on the sideline.
Like, college coaches dress professionally, and for them that just means like a logoed polo shirt. They dress better than any NFL coach out there.
Except for Jim Caldwell. Nobody could ever upclass two watches at once.
Mm. Good point.
You think maybe Papa Jim. He wears two pencils in each ear as like a tribute?
No.
What if Matt Patricia wears two watches, though? Maybe that's it. Maybe Martha Ford comes up to him and gives him a watch, and he's like, Martha, I already have one. It's like, this is the sacred watch of Detroit. This is the watch you must wear opposite your other watch at all times.
I'm going to be honest. If that's a job requirement, I'm out. I'm going somewhere else. I'm not going to Detroit.
That's your deal breaker, a second watch?
Only one man could ever do that.
What if it's a Fitbit?
No, still counts.
I'm trying to find some middle ground here. You gotta meet there me in the middle here.
A bracelet.
a Livestrong bracelet? Does that count?
The podcast is not endorsed Lance Armstrong.
Okay, what was the question you guys wanted me to do that I have now completely forgotten about the John Gruden contract?
Yeah,
we forgot to talk about that the Oakland Raiders are probably the dumbest team on earth.
Hey, that's as Mark Davis said, it's a big effing deal. I don't know if he was talking about Gruden coming back or if he was talking about the size of the contract.
I don't know, man.
It's $100 million guaranteed. It's backloaded for when he gets to Vegas.
Like, he's been out of the league for 9 years. People convince them this is a smart thing to do with their money. Like, is he going to be even interested in coaching in 10 years?
I think he said in the press conference, like, I'm not even guaranteed to be alive in 10 years.
That's not true.
It's a great investment, John Gruden, when you have that kind of attitude.
I will say this. Not even Al Davis in his most geriatric would have thought about hiring a coach that's been out of the league for 9 years and giving him a 10-year contract. Al Davis would have sooner gone down to the sidelines and coached himself. Davis is just an idiot.
All right, so I found the question.
Yeah.
It's from Ryan Collins at Shafty Von Hack. He asks, so here's the pitch. A list cast with the top 10 ways to waste more money than a 10-year, $100 million contract for John Gruden. Let's not list cast. Let's just say maybe the one thing we would rather do than spend $100 million on 10 years of John Gruden. I would spend $100 million to keep John Gruden away from me for 10 years. Just to, like, if you watch Black Mirror, there's that one episode where you have, like, they have this implant that you can block someone on where you can't, like, they're literally just a blur when you see them and you can't understand what they say. I might pay 10 years, $100 million just that with John Gruden so they can never see or hear him again.
Who's going to replace John Gruden? Like, by the way, that was probably the most awkward farewell for, like, a sports broadcast. And I'm saying this as someone who watched, like, the Vern Lundquist farewell from CBS, and he's, like, crying and hugging and everything, and Sean McDonough just looks like he doesn't even want to try to touch John Gruden. This awkwardly looking at each other, and Sean's like, you know, we really enjoyed having you here.
Yeah, and then Gruden diffuses all of it by saying, thank you, but nothing's official.
Of course. Who's replacing John Gruden? I am with O'Hara. I'm with Mr. Mike O'Hara, that it should be Chris Spielman.
I think it's going to be Tony Romo, both in the booth next year and as head coach for the Raiders in 2 years.
Do you think ESPN could even hire Tony Romo away from CBS at this point?
Probably not. I don't know.
I don't know. I can't stand Jim Nance. I'm over Jim Nance. I don't want them to be paired together. I feel like
Do you want him with Sean McDonough's cracking voice?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I find McDonough's cracking voice to be endearing, though, because I associate it with one of the best memories of my entire life.
Puberty?
He has trouble with the snap!
Hilarious.
Let that sink in. Okay, John Whitaker, what TV show should I parody next? Oh, we didn't even finish up our million thing. We should... All right, I've screwed this up. Do you have any other?
Yeah, I do. I would rather buy $100 million worth of iPod Nanos.
I thought you were going to say 50 million those McDonald's breakfast things.
Oh, no.
McGriddles. 50 million McGriddles from their new $2 menu.
I thought you were... Hold on, I have a better answer. I'd buy $100 million worth of Kohl's gift cards. I don't have to buy Christmas gifts for the rest of my life.
Okay, now John Whitaker's question. What should he parody next?
Mr. Robot, right? Robot doesn't have anything like that, though.
Yeah, and just for background, John Whitaker has been putting out some pretty amazing, like, 30, 60-second videos comparing the lines to various TV opening themes. You know, he's done The A-Team. I think, was one MacGyver? Or... I'm not sure. But basically, like, the 80s, 90s theme songs to Lions highlights. I don't know.
What about the old Doctor Who theme? Star Trek.
Maybe. I'm trying to... What's like more most iconic that hasn't been done for? Because, like, we can't do Full House because the Jaguars did that. We can't do, like, maybe Step by Step.
I mean, it's technically based on different city, but what about Miami Vice? Pretty good theme.
Miami Vice.
Is there anything that's set in Michigan, though, that we could... What about Home Improvement?
Home Improvement? We could do Home Improvement. As much as I despise Tim Allen.
Okay. Let's see here. Blake Meekin, do you think Taco Bell should bring back their rolled chicken tacos full time?
I don't eat at Taco Bell. I'm done with Taco Bell. I'm done with fast food, I think. Let me say why real quick, though. I have to give up on all fast food, though, because if I don't, I will eat one McGriddle a day. I will do it.
That's right. The dollar menu overhaul is now swinging over your head like the sword of Damocles.
I'm trying to be careful.
I think Taco Bell first needs to take seriously the threat of the Illuminati.
I don't know what this rolled taco is, by the way.
It's okay.
Is it like a taquito?
Yeah, it's like a taquito slash egg roll type of shit.
Yeah. See, if it's not a Crunchwrap Supreme, I honestly don't give a shit. Crunchwrap Supreme, cheesy gordita crunch, and that's about it.
I actually like the Cantina. Do they still do the Cantina burritos? Those are usually pretty good.
The Chipotle wannabe burritos?
Yeah, kinda. A lot more guac, a lot more beans to it. I need to try that dollar stacker. Granted, I've got access to Jack in the Box here, so when I'm going out for tacos, I'm going there.
You're in LA. The last place you should be going for tacos is Taco Bell or Jack in the Box.
American shit tacos, for those American tacos. And sometimes you just want those.
Why not just walk down any street and find a taco truck?
Because this is LA, and you don't want to go anywhere in this city, it seems like. Some days, this city is the weirdest place in the world. You will feel so alienated living in this city just because for whatever reason, you just don't want to go anywhere, but there's just so much around you too. So it's, whatever. I've had better tacos, but sometimes I just want a fried shell dipped in grease.
Yeah, and speaking of the fried shells, I think that the Crunchwrap Supreme died to me when they got rid of the spicy chicken option.
That's completely fair. I miss it too.
All right. I can't pronounce this name. $G-PREVO Gary AMG Prevo, whatever. With the signing of Patricia, here it is. I can speak. With the signing of Patricia. Let me get this right. The signing of Patricia, do you think we will go from a 4-3 to a 3-4 defense?
Stop this. I hate this. Can we move? Can we just, can it be September yet?